Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I was talking to different people this week. It just kept getting like God was telling me, the sermon's already there. And I just kept having this thing in my heart. So I am a copycat. And today I am bringing you a message that you already probably heard on the radio this week. And if you did, you get a double whammy. How about that? But I heard a message that really, really, really ministered to me. And I just kept feeling impressed that this was good for all of us to hear. From Celebration Church, Dennis Watson. And he was preaching on being stuck. You guys heard it? Anybody heard it? Heard the whole thing? Because if it happens like me, I'm in the car and I'm listening. I'm like trying to get out the car, but trying to listen to the last little bit, right? And that's what happened. I didn't even hear the whole thing. I was just like, wow, I need to hear this thing. So I went online and I researched and researched till I found it. And so you're getting it, amen? You're going to like it. You're going to like it, I'm pretty sure. It's going to be an awesome thing. But we all, don't we? We all have struggles, don't we? Is there anybody here that doesn't have any struggles? Okay, just checking, because then I might need to be a copycat of you, right? But we all have struggles, and it seems like sometimes our life just isn't what we're hoping it would be. Or simply our lives is at a stage where we're like upside down, right? It seems like everything is upside down. Like, have you seen a turtle? It can move on earth, it can swim in the water, it can go many places. And if you watch videos on turtles, they're not as slow as we think. And they're pretty crazy. But you put a turtle upside down and that's it, right? Paralyzed. Can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. And it seems like sometimes our Christian lives are like upside down. And there's not much that we can accomplish. And what do we do? I was watching videos also because I got curious about turtles turning around, and man, it's a difficult task. The way they have to twist their necks and their heads in order to impulse themselves to be able to half turn and then do another half turn, it's crazy. You got to see that to believe it. It's crazy. But you see, it might be something in your life that just keeps you upside down. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Maybe something that you need to work on. It could be that you're overworked. Maybe you're spending too much, you know, and heard about the thief who stole a wallet from a man, and the man didn't report it. You know why? Because the thief was spending less than his wife with his credit cards, right? So you see, he decided, you know, let's just keep it like that. He's spending less than my wife does, right? But you see, maybe you have some anxiety. Maybe there are some addictions. Maybe there's something that's affecting your life. Maybe just simply you're a controlling person. Maybe you're a perfectionist. Maybe it's just you're in grief. Maybe you're thinking about a divorce. Maybe you're codependent or hypochondriac. Maybe you're dealing with guilt and shame or alcohol, drugs, and just resentment and bitterness, whatever it is. Maybe some abuses or some hurts in life, procrastination, depression, whatever it is. You may have found yourself trying to look at that list, check, check, check. Or maybe there is no checks for you on that list, and we need to make a new list because we got to find you somewhere in the list, right? But I know it happens, but I know I can check off a few of them for myself. But in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, the Apostle Paul is talking about his own wrestling, his own battle. I mean, it's just flesh against spirit, spirit against flesh. And what am I going to do? In Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin." You see, the law isn't that bad. It's spiritual. And we always thought that the law was bad. No, guess what? Guess what's bad? I'm bad. You're bad. We're all bad, right? For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now,
No longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Oh my God, we need God so much, because the word says that God is the one who places the desire, the will, and the way to do the right thing. And Paul is saying, you know what? I can't do it on my own. So, for the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. You're confused. So am I. Let me just put this in a couple of words here, very simple. It's me, period. It's my flesh, period. It's me. And I'm not talking about just your skin and bones. I'm talking your being, your fleshly being, you. It's your problem. The problem is you and me. Okay, I'll include myself in this so you don't feel so bad, right? Because you're like, what are you talking about? What? You don't know. All right. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Whew, here it comes. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind, I'm serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. Father, add your blessing to this word in Christ Jesus. Amen. You see, so there is a war between the flesh and the spirit. And I know you probably may have not named it that, but you know what I'm talking about. Just struggling in your life to do the right thing, and sometimes just simply failing and falling flat on our faces. Who will save me is the question. And the answer is at the end on verse 25. I should have just read that verse, right? Made it easier. You know, in Jesus Christ, he is the answer. So whatever problem you may have in life, he has a solution. As a matter of fact, you either have a problem, you live with a problem, or you are the problem. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. You know, don't look at that. Don't look at them. That's not right. You see, that's mean-spirited. That's not good. But it is true that it is our problem. And then, you see, we are the problem. The story goes that there was three men that worked in the high-rise. They were working on those high beams and building skyscrapers. And all three of them went up there. And when they were up there, they pulled out their lunch. And there was one Mexican guy, and he had burritos. And he ate his burritos, but he was like, you know what? If I have burritos for lunch one more time, I'm going to throw myself from this thing. I'm going to just throw myself off this building. And there comes the other one, the Italian. He's got spaghetti and meatballs. And he's like, you know what? If I see another lunch plate full of spaghetti and meatballs, I'm going to jump off this building. And there goes the Cajun guy and says, you know what? If I have jambalaya one more time for lunch, I'm jumping off this building, right? So the next day, all three of them were sitting up there having their lunch. And guess what? The Mexican had burritos. And he said, you know what? I've had it. And he jumped off the building. And the Italian looked at his lunch. And he had spaghetti and meatballs. So he said, you know what? I've had it too. I'm jumping off. And so he did. And the Cajun guy looked, and he had jambalaya. He's like, I'm off of this thing. And he just went. All three of them ended up in the hospital. There go their wives. And the Mexican wife was like, if I would have known that, you know, he was not liking burritos so much, I would have made him some quesadillas. She was crying. And she looks over at the Italian, and she was like, you know, if I would have known he was so fed up with spaghetti, I would have made him some pizza. They looked at the Cajun lady, and she wouldn't say anything. She's like, why are y'all looking at me? He made his own lunch. Right? So a lot of times we may see problems, we may think we have problems. Most of the time, we are the problem, right? Now, say it with me. I am my biggest problem. But do it with conviction, right? All right, let's look at that. Let's go real quick because there's a lot to cover today, all right? I am my biggest problem. This is because of our flaws the flaws in our character. Our character is flawed. There are defects in our character. And where do they come from? Well, you may say, well, comes from my mama's side, or it comes from my daddy's side. And guess what? Some of it does come because you have inherited. It's stuff that you have inherited. You know, it's in your chromosomes. Some of those things are like, I don't know about you, but I'm getting to the age where I'm looking at myself and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm just like my father. Is that happening to you? Yet? Let me tell you something, right? You're like, It will happen. You will make some mistakes and you'll do some things and then you'll see like, oh my God, I can't do this. It's just like my mama. You will. And some of those things, you have to be careful with this because we don't want to blame our parents for what we do. Because let me tell you something, because of the tendencies and things that you have inherited from your parents, you may be making some decisions or do some things that are not right. But that is not an excuse. That is not an excuse. You do inherit some things from your parents, but you can be changed. God can change things for you. You believe that? God can change some of those things. You know, some of those things you get and you can't change, but some of those things you do get and you can change. I remember when my daughter was born, and my next-door neighbor, he came over to see Valeria when she was just born a baby, and he says, oh, my God, look at this precious baby. Where did she get them looks? And guess what I answered? Oh, she got them from me. And he's like, he looked at me and said, well, she took them all from you. You know that, right? All your good looks. She left you none, right? It's amazing. So it could be that your parents have left you some inheritance, some good and some bad, some tendencies and things, but that is not an excuse. Now, other flaws in your character may come because of circumstances, you know, due to circumstances. You're trying to cover some of the needs in your life your own way and trying to do things for your own self. And you know what? You have needs, and they're legitimate needs. We all have needs, but when you're trying to attend to your needs in your own ways, then all of a sudden the circumstances will affect you. Maybe, you know, your parents, or when you were little, nobody paid much attention to you, so now you're drawing attention by doing stupid stuff. Or getting into dumb relationships and looking at and doing things or lusting after your passions and sexual because that's the one way to get attention. So all of a sudden, you find yourself breaking the will and the law of God because you have given yourself into trying to cover your own needs. Maybe you were not very secure and you didn't feel much safety. So then all of a sudden, when you grow up, you acquire things and you get into material things and you start getting and having. And you think that's going to cover that need of knowing that you're going to be okay and go and not go without. You know what? Those are simply circumstances that will affect and will flaw our character. On the third one, some of my flaws are due to my bad decisions. Anybody say amen? That's what I figured. There'd be two or three of you always making bad decisions. No, we all do make bad decisions. And sometimes I feel like I'm always making bad decisions. Now, don't look at the person next to you, but you have made bad decisions, right? Good decisions bring good consequences. Bad decisions bring bad consequences. Now, and when you do something frequently enough, then it becomes what? It becomes a habit in your life. And then when it becomes a habit in your life, it will flaw your character. It will definitely be a defect in your character. It becomes a flaw, and you start living miserably. You start living discouraged and defeated. And you don't want that, right? But let's keep going. Let's think about this. I have to check myself. You need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. You have to ask yourself, am I willing to do what it takes to get out of this stuck mindset? If you're stuck and you need help, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Why do I kind of get so clingy about my faults? Why do I know my defects, and like Paul was saying, why is it that wanting to do the good, I keep doing the bad? Why is it in me that I just keep going back to doing what I'm not supposed to? See, I need to assess myself and think about it, right? So number one, let's think about a few things that we need to do. Number one, it's hard to change my defects because of longevity. Longevity. Why is it that it's hard to change some of the things in my life? it is so difficult to get rid of them because they've been there for so long, right? They've been there for so long that it's just like, I don't know what to do. It's like, I don't know about you, but my wife loves going through my closet and throwing stuff away. Men especially, right? Women go to their closets like, what about them shoes? Oh, no, no, no. You leave those shoes alone. They're 7 years old. They're 7 years old. You need to tell them, oh, no, they fit okay. They do all right with me. While the woman goes and buys a pair of shoes every month. And I'm not getting on that soapbox right now. So you think about it, right? Or maybe you have that shirt you've been wearing for 5 years. And your wife keeps saying, again, hey, it makes me look good. It fits my personality, right? Maybe you need a new personality. Or a new shirt, whatever, okay? But it's hard to change because sometimes you've grown accustomed to some things because of they've been with you for so long. Number two, it's hard to change my defects because of my identity. I identify with them. I identify with some things in my life. You see, it's just the way I am. Have you heard people say that? Well, I'm sorry, that's just the way I am. Well, some things never change. And you hear people saying these things about themselves, right? I was born this way. You hear people saying these things. These are excuses so that you don't have to process and change things in your life, all of those flaws. Or when people say, well, it's just like me too. Can you name one for yourself? Don't say it out loud. It's okay. But I can say it out loud. I can say, it's just like me to be late. Yeah. Believe it or not. Right? Now use that. It's just like me too. And put whatever you want to put there. I know what I put there and it hurts. Right? But when we identify with these things and you say, well, I'm always late anyway, then what am I going to be next time? Late. Right? It's the same thing. It becomes like a prophecy that fulfills in your life. How many of you are scared of flying, going on airplanes? How many of you get a little about airplanes, right? So what happens? You know, you think about it and I get nervous when I get on airplanes. You know what's going to happen next time you get on an airplane, right? You're going to get nervous. Simple as that. It just doesn't change. So you take your flaw and you identify with it. Oh, no, I'm a nervous wreck when it comes to airplanes. Well, you are and you will be because you identified with it already. Now, let's think about some other things. It's hard to change my defects because of my productivity, because they produce something for me that I'm wanting. And I'm thinking I'm going to be satisfied with it. Some things I do because simply I get something out of it. And I repeat them constantly because there's some reward or something that I get out of it. I get a kick out of it. I get a thrill out of it or something. And I just keep doing the same thing, even though I know it's a flaw in my character that needs to change. You see, we're normally, for the most part, we don't do things that don't bring rewards to us. If it's not going to satisfy me, I don't want to do it. Do you feel it? If I don't feel good about it, I don't want to do it. But when I do, I just keep getting it and doing it, you see? We don't like to do things that do not satisfy us. If it brings some type of satisfaction, even if it's just short term, even if it's just a moment of satisfaction, I'll do it because it's just that way. Number four, it's hard to change my defects because of adversity. You know why? Because Satan is always your adversary, and he is always trying to discourage you, and he's throwing your faults in your face, right? He's always trying to throw it in your face. See, you're never going to change. The Bible says that he is the accuser of the believer. You're never going to change. That's not going to work. Your relationship's not going to work. Don't say anything. Just keep it quiet. If nobody knows, nobody gets hurt. And you keep hearing all these things, and you just don't change. But Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 44, the devil is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. I just gave you a brief summary of all that, right? He speaks lies. He speaks for his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. He's a liar. But then Jesus said in that same chapter before that in verse 32, and you shall know the truth and what? You will be set free. The truth sets you free. And with the help of God, you can actually conquer these faults. So remember that. Maybe some of them have been with you for so long that you just can't shake them. Maybe you have identified yourself with some of these flaws in a way that you just think you are, and period, and you can't change. Maybe they're just, you're just getting something, but it's not right, and you're getting some satisfaction out of it. You need to change. Maybe it's just the devil getting at you, and you're succumbing. You're falling. Pray to him. You can change, and God can do it for you. Now let's talk about then how that happens. I have to cooperate with God's change process. What do I do to cooperate with God's changing process? I'll give you 7 ways that you can do that, and then we'll get out of here. Number one, we overcome... I'm mixing Spanish with English, sorry. We overcome character defects by focusing on changing one defect at a time. Change one thing at a time. One thing at a time. That's what we need to do. And of course, we know that Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that we need to renew. We need to be changed in where? Our minds. Up here. Change happens up there. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. Think about that. Dr. Paul Carlin said this. He was a pastor. He's a retired pastor and a counselor. He says, we do what we do because we believe what we believe. We do what we do because we believe what we believe. I don't believe that, but I do it. No. Whatever you believe in your mind, that's what you're going to do. Well, I don't believe in God, but I'm still going to give him my life. I'm an atheist, but God's going to help me. That just doesn't work like that, right? Whatever you believe is what you're going to end up doing. See, because what happens is the connection, right? And it becomes a vicious cycle if you allow it. Whatever you think, then you start getting the feeling. It drops down to here and you feel it. And when you feel it, you do it. And then what you do makes you think about it. So you think about it again and you feel it and you keep doing it. It becomes a vicious cycle. Now that cycle doesn't need to be broken. It just needs to be fixed. Because if you think the right thoughts, it's okay to feel the right thing and do the right thing and keep going in that cycle. And your wheels will be moving. But the problem is that we don't. So we need to understand that it starts in the mind. And we need to focus our minds on the right thoughts. So we overcome character defects by focusing on changing one thing at a time. Proverbs 17:24, if you can place it up there for me. Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. You see, on the ends of the earth, meaning like a way past forward. You know, like what? Don't go all the way out there. Don't think about next year yet. Think about now. Don't think about next month. Don't think about next week. Think about today. The thing is that we get ahead too much, and when we try too much, like for example, Pastor, you're right. You're right. I need to concentrate on one thing and one thing alone, and that is I'm going to lose weight. And I'm going to get one of them programs, and I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the next 10 days because that's the way it is. And you think that's going to do it. Yeah, you'll lose 10 pounds in 10 days, but then you'll find out you actually want 20 pounds. You went up 20 pounds in 20 days. So in 30 days, how many pounds you went up? 10 pounds. So you got to do your math. You lost 10, but then you gained 20. So, and then we get in that vicious cycle, right? So don't do that. Don't try to lose 5 pounds in 5 days, 10 pounds in 10 days, 20 pounds in 20 days. Because you'll gain it and you'll double that. I know. Number two, we overcome character defects by focusing on pursuing victory one day at a time. One more time. One day at a time. What happened to the people of Israel when they were in the desert? They were hungry, nothing to eat. And God said, you know what? Just go to bed. Go into bed. And tomorrow morning you'll have something to eat. No problem. And when they woke up, they see this thing that fell out of the sky. I don't know what it looked like, but it was on the ground. They picked it up and made cakes with it. And they were eating and they were happy. And God said, pick up enough for the day. Don't pick up for tomorrow. Don't pick up anything for next week because it'll have worms the next day. And the people who saved it actually messed it up, right? The next day it had worms in it. Why did God say something like that to his people? Just worry about one day. I'm going to give you enough for one day. Because he's testing your faith. Because he's trying to tell you, I want you to depend on me today, but I want you to depend on me tomorrow. I don't want you to depend on me today and think that you got it made tomorrow. I want you to come to me today and ask me, why did Jesus in his model prayer say, give us this week our daily, our weekly bread? No. Give us today our daily bread. Today, our daily bread. Tomorrow will take care of itself because God will be there tomorrow once again. So you pick one problem from your list and you start one day at a time working on it. You see, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will bring its own care, its own problems. Just take care of today. Enough with today's problems, Jesus said. You got enough with today's problems. You don't have to go that far. Do not worry. You have enough trouble in today. So the problem is we want everything today, right? We want everything today. We don't want to wait till tomorrow. We can't. We can't change. We can't grow. And we cannot mature in Christ in one day. It is not an instant thing. Now, at the end of it all, wherever you find yourself at the end of your life, I know that the Bible says that in the blinking of an eye, Jesus will transform us and we will see him for who he is and we'll be in front of him perfected, clothed in white. Wow. Our lives will be perfected. But it is a process. Don't wait till the last day of your life to say, I'll be perfect tomorrow. No, it is a process that you need to be progressing in. You need to work on it one day at a time, one thing at a time. And you know what? You can destroy your life with one decision in one moment, don't you? But it takes maybe a lifetime to rebuild it. It's not easy. Number three, we overcome character defects by focusing on God's power. It is not my power. It's his power. I got to focus on his power. In my own will and in my own strength, I'm not getting anywhere. A lot of my problems have resulted because what? Because I've tried on my own strength. The truth is that if you had enough strength to fix all your problems, then you would have been fixed already, right? Then you would have fixed it already. If I would have had enough power, enough strength to fix every one of my problems, I wouldn't be who I am today. I would be so perfect. But I've tried. But I need to depend on God. That's my problem sometimes. Well, thank God. Because his word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Only through him, only in him. So we can pray. You know what? I can't change on my own, but in your strength, I can. Everything and anything can change. We overcome character defects by focusing on godly rather than ungodly thoughts. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Our thoughts. Now look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. This is a lovely verse. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. Dwell. You see, he's giving you the power for you to choose what to dwell on. You can dwell on sadness or you can dwell on joy. That is your choice. You can dwell on all these good things. You have the power because God's power is within you. You see, we need to focus ourselves in the good thoughts. Problem is we focus ourselves in our worries and our fears and things like that, right? Don't we? But you know what? It's like a remote control. How many of you like having a remote? Oh my God, I love it. I don't have to get up and go there, right? Don't you hate it when your batteries go off and you're smacking the thing? You're turning the things. You pull them out. You put them back on. You turn them again. Ah! Poor remote. What has he done to you? Get some batteries. And then you wait, and you're there, and you're like, ah, and you're waiting for somebody to go by. Right? And Brandon goes by, hey, can you get some batteries for this remote? Right? Hey, my man, help me. I'm saying that because the batteries are back there, and Brandon's back there, not because Ed does that. Just wanted you to clear, yeah, I wanted to clear that up, you know, so just in case. But you see, what happens when you're watching something and you have the remote in hand? If you don't like what you're watching, or if you know that you're not supposed to be watching what you're watching, what do? Change the channel. right? That's what you do. You have control. You have the control to go to whatever channel you want. That's the same thing with your mind. You have the power. God has given you the power to say, you know what? I'm not going to dwell on that. That's not going to be my thought today. I'm going to change that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever refocused your thoughts and channeled them to something else to get away from something? Have you ever done that? Did it work? Has it ever worked? It works. You can do it. You see, heard about that lady who went to Walmart, and while she was at the cashier paying, she was looking for her credit cards, and as she pulled stuff out, she pulled out a remote. And the cashier asked, what are you doing with a remote in your purse, if I may ask? She's like, oh, I'm punishing my husband. I bet you he's looking for it right now. Right? Every time you have these thoughts that are negative, that are bad, that are evil, whatever it is, and invade your mind, then what do you have to do? You got to change the channel. But it seems like the devil has taken our remote. It seems like he's kept it in his own purse for us. And we just stay there. And we just can't change the channel. And we keep thinking the same bad thoughts. And we just keep dwelling on these things. We're flawed. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. The Word of God is like your channel guide, you know? You know what channel you're not supposed to go to. When you hit that guide tells you where the kids' channels are, where the news channels are, where the X-rated channels are, and you know in which section you need to stay in, right? You know exactly what you need to stay in. See, it's important that we know the Word of God. That is our guide. And the devil's going to start doing things to you. He's going to try to get you. He's going to start saying, well, you can't be forgiven after what you have done. Well, guess what? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ. You can tell him that. He may not. And you know what? He believes it. He knows it. It's just, you just got to tell him. You just got to believe it yourself. You see, when the devil comes at you and says, you're defeated. You're nothing but a defeated. You can't do anything. You said, no, the Bible says in Philippians that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You see, when you get anxious, when you get worried and stuff, and the devil's like, you got to get worried. You won't be able to handle this and that. You go to Philippians 4:6 and it says, you know what? Do not be worried or anxious about nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That's what you have to do. Maybe you start having some fears in life. Well, guess what? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, you have not been given a fear, a spirit of fear. You have been given a spirit of power. You have been given a spirit of love and sound mind or discipline. You can do things. Well, nobody loves you. When the devil comes at you and says nobody loves you, guess what? Romans 8:39 says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's impossible. So you see, you can change things, but you got to know the Word. When the devil comes at you and says, you're never going to conquer, you're never going to make it, you're too flawed in your character, then you pull out Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through the one who loved us, Jesus Christ. Amen? There is a way we can get out of all these flaws. There is a way that we can change. And let me give you the last three. We have to cooperate with God's change process. In that we overcome character defects by focusing on doing good rather than what feels good. You get that? Don't just do what feels good. Do what is good. Sometimes we do things because they feel good, but they may not be good. Sometimes we have to do good even though it doesn't feel good. You get that? The problem is that we're waiting to feel good to do good, and that's not good. If that was good, then we would all be good, but we're not good. Okay, it's good. We overcome character defects by focusing on doing good, not feeling good. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, I tell you then, walk in the Spirit and do not carry out the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Do not. In other versions, it says, do not make provision for your flesh. Do not. Carry out the desires of your flesh. Stop. Dennis Watson was saying a story about a couple that came to his office. They've only been married less than a year. And they came to his office saying, you know what, Pastor? We have fallen out of love. We don't feel the same way anymore, so we want to call it quits. That's it. I think we're done. We don't feel the same way we felt at the beginning. And for the single people in here, let me tell you something. Marriage is not a solution to your problems. Some of you that are married say, and it's true. Actually, you know what Paul says? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28. Oh my God. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life. And I am trying to spare you. Paul is saying to the unmarried, you know what? You think marriage is going to solve your problems? Get real. Marriage is just going to make your problems rise and shine to the occasion. That's what marriage is going to do. Somebody who's married was laughing back there. Having fun with problems, brother? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Having a lot of problems, but having fun. I'm glad I got into that problem. I don't want to discourage anybody, all right? You guys in this section, take it easy over here. Goodness gracious. It's okay to be married. You're going to make it, right? Some say that love is a dream, right? Love is a dream. Then marriage is the wake up, the alarm clock that wakes you up, right? So this is what he used for the couple. This is where he went. And this is an awesome passage. Check it out. Revelation chapter 2. This is Jesus talking to his bride. This is Jesus talking to his bride. And he says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, check this out. Remember, use your mind first, not your heart. Use your mind. Remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds. Repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. You see, all of a sudden, he changes perspective on this because God is saying, you know what? If you're falling out of love with me, I don't want you to fall in love with me in order to do the right thing. I want you to do the right thing until you fall in love with me again. That's what he's telling his bride. And you know what? In our relationships, you may fall out at times and you're thinking, oh my God, I wish she went to heaven. Oh my God, Lord, you can keep her. It's okay. I give her to you as a burnt offering. Hallelujah, I worship you. Right? Well, I first said he, and then I said she. I'm a balanced guy. Right? No. That's not right. Jesus is saying, you know what? You want to feel what you felt, that love and feeling that you have lost? Then start doing what you did at the beginning, and that feeling will come. Go back to the beginning. Remember where you have fallen from. Remember what you used to do, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again until you feel like it. And you will. If it's true love in Christ, whatever it is, you will regain it. God is so awesome and he can do that. So the world says, do it if you feel like it, go ahead and do it. The Bible says, do it until you feel like it. Now the good thing, right? The good things, not the bad things I'm talking about. So do the correct thing and your feelings will change. Will change. Yeah, they will change. Number six. We overcome character defects by focusing on connecting with people who help rather than hinder us. You know, some people are just hindrances. That should be their last name, hindrance. Right? Hindrance. Because they just hinder other people from getting anywhere. They're always becoming stumbling blocks. Quit hanging out with the wrong crowd, right? You've heard that so many times from your mama. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Oh my God. We ought to stamp that on our children's forehead. Bad company corrupts morals. Simple like that. You hang out with the wrong crowd, you do the wrong thing. Period. It's just simple. Why do we do that? So you need to surround yourself with different people. If you find yourself that you're making the same mistakes and going on with mistakes and going on, maybe you'll need to look around. It's your fault. It's not their fault. But maybe you need to look around who's influencing you. Look at your circle of influence. Look at the people who are surrounding you. Look at the people you hang out with. Look at the people you are on Facebook with all the time. Look at the people you're texting with. Look at the people you're talking to. All of those people are an influence in your life. That's why, you know, I always urge and I always say from up here, join a small group in church. Join a small group. They're not perfect. They're a bunch of flawed characters just like you. But they're actually trying to get it better. They're actually trying to make it right. They're actually trying to grow. But if you don't hang out with people that are trying to grow in Christ, you're not going to do it alone. It does not work. You need help. And you need others. We need others. We need each other. That's the song, right? I get songs in my head all the time like that. I'm sorry. You see, we overcome those character defects by focusing also on striving for progress, not perfection. A lot of times we just want to make things perfect so quickly and it just doesn't work. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Who's going to perfect it? Not you. He will. But you know what? The one that began the work in you is not going to do it from one day to another. It's going to finish it, like Sylvia just said, but it's a day-to-day-to-day-to-day thing. It takes a lot of days. Doesn't happen, you know, that quick. And we need him because he's always loved us. You know what? One of the things that we need to understand is that no matter how flawed our character may be, no matter what predicament you may have fallen into, no matter what you have done, God's love is unchanging. Oh, my Lord, thank you. That's why the Apostle Paul, at the end of that chapter, says, you know, even though he says, I am so miserable, who's going to free me from this body of death, of bondage? Then he says, thanks to God, because Jesus Christ, our Lord, he will. He will. He can do it. You just have to trust him. Maybe you need to think what area in your life you need to be freed. Maybe there are some flaws in your character that you need to address. You don't need to tell them. But you need to go at them with God. It doesn't matter where you find yourself today or whatever you have messed up or whatever you have broken. He loves you just the way you are, and he will restore you if you want. It's a one step at a time, one day at a time. And he's never going to change his love for you. It's like the little boy who was in the choir of the school, and he was chosen to do a solo during the choir singing. And when the presentation came, the kid solo started, and he started on the wrong note, and he kept going on the wrong note, and he finished his solo on the wrong note. It was just bad. Many of his friends were in the audience just covering their ears, and people are looking like, whoa, what's wrong with this kid? Oh my God, that was bad. Some people were laughing. But at the end of the presentation, he felt like he wasn't worth a penny. But Grandma came running to him and grabbed him and hugged him, picked him up out of the ground and said, honey, that was the best singing I have ever heard in my life. Oh my God, that was beautiful. And at that moment, that child felt that what anybody else would say did not matter. Only what Grandma had told him. See, focused on that. Focus on what God has to say about you, not anybody else. Trust him. And whatever flaws in your life, he can change them. You just have to trust him.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.